Hello, and welcome to the Status Quo Podcast. This is your host, Jake Coferl, and I'm here always with...
Dario Pellegrino. How are you guys?
Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back after two weeks off.
Yeah, it's Jake's kind of fault. He had a little birthday
that
fell on our podcast recording night. So.
Yep, and my birthday goes for a whole week, so whatever.
I guess we can apologize to the person that's here because we...
Yep.
Schedule a session, had a bail on it, so I guess introduce who we're talking to today.
Yeah, we got a cool episode today. We are speaking with Garrett Tishy with Huga.
Nailed that.
We actually practiced for about 5 minutes beforehand, so it's perfect.
It's
Garrett, how are we doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm pumped.
No, thanks for having us in your own place.
Yeah, it works both ways. I love it.
This is symbiotic.
This doesn't happen often where I get to sit on around the table.
That side?
Do you
host your own podcast?
No. So I built this for myself.
Uh-huh.
To hopefully produce a show, and I've never produced a show.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You don't have the creative thought yet. And one day you're going to wake up and we'll be here.
Yeah. I believe that podcasting is a true commitment, and I just don't believe I can commit to hit a certain quality bar that I want. So we are producing a Huga podcast. I'll play the intro music for you after. Don't let me forget. It's amazing.
Cool.
Okay.
But I will not be the host.
We actually, as you can see, and we, like I told you before, we just do it one cut, no editing, and we haven't even recorded like a intro music yet.
No.
So if there's anybody out there listening to our show that wants to build something like that for us, please, reach out.
Oh,
strong ass.
Quick plug here. Like, follow, share, comment, all those above. Sorry. Had to throw those in there. You know, Jake hates when I do that. But
yeah. Well, you know.
We're trying to build a following if we can.
Yeah. Gotta try. So, Garrett, what do you do? What do we do here at Huga?
Huga. Sorry.
Tell everybody who, what, when, where, why.
Sure. So Huga Coworking is a coworking space. We're soon to be 5 locations as of next week. We'll be opening kind of the newest and biggest one. The simplest way to put it is we're shared workspace. So think a mix of open workspace, kind of like a coffee shop, but more of a controlled environment. Everything up to private offices. We also offer a middle tier of dedicated desks for those that maybe need something a little more affordable, have their own stuff, but don't need a room with a door.
Right.
That's kind of the business. Like, that is the thing that we sell. It's just shared workspace, simple set of amenities. It's space, meeting space, coffee, Wi-Fi. The kind of added benefits, the thing that's kind of blown co-working up and kind of where I hang my hat now that we've gotten to a scale where I think it's actually a thing we can sell, is kind of the community aspect.
Right.
That people, the vast majority of people end up in co-working for is you know, you're a remote worker. You have no team. You're lonely. You need people. So you gravitate towards a space like ours, which we've facilitated, you know, at least bringing people together and then hope that you meet someone, I don't know, that maybe you consider a friend or a peer or a colleague. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. And I know I can tell firsthand, I've thought about when I was first getting started in my company with AJ, we got our own office, but I was in there alone a lot of times. I'm like, man, you know, one other person would be cool. So I see the allure, especially if you're a freelancer or solopreneur or whatever.
Mm. Yeah. For me, so before Huga, I owned a marketing agency called Ready at 7. There were two of us. We quit our agency, started our own, worked out of my house for about 2 weeks, and we knew that wasn't going to cut it. So we ended up moving into a co-working space that was at the time called At 809. We loved it. Like, a year of being there, I personally, for me, the benefits to me, both personally and professional, were freaking amazing. Like, I believe that my company, the marketing company, would not be where it ended up if we did not land in that space. Like,
through like networking or?
Yeah, you just, you meet like-minded people if you want it. You know, that's the cool thing and the kind of the way we've always positioned. If you want to talk to people there, if you just want to come in, put your headphones in and never interact, also cool. I'm an extrovert. I wanted to meet people. It kind of opened my doors to Charlotte. And about a year into that, we're just like, man, imagine. And at the time, the people that were running 809 were not really running coworking space. They were officing there and had tons of extra space. So they were just like, let's
chopped
just
up their
the
own
bills.
Place. Yeah.
So we were like, man, if we could just do this better, it could be a business. It could make money. So we opened Hygge literally next door. Like literally on, we shared a wall with it.
What was the first, what location was first?
It's Hill Street.
Hill Street, okay.
So we ended up, so we opened next door. About 4 months later, we ended up buying 809. So Hill Street, the original location, is a mix of our original and an expansion into 809. So that's kind of where we got started. I lived it myself. I felt like, and I still do to this day, like vast majority of my friends, my closest friends came from co-working.
Really?
You know, they live within this ecosystem. I love it. We're 500 plus people strong.
When'd you start?
So we're, this October will be 4 years.
Wow. Nice.
So, which is cool. It feels like way longer. But I feel like now, you know, it's starting to, I don't know, at some point, we haven't really slowed down, so it's weird to go like, man, in 4 years we built 5 locations. That's pretty dope.
That's what I was about to say. That's moving pretty quick.
Yeah, and we got some cool stuff coming beyond that. So it's kind of wild to think that we're kind of pushing that line in Charlotte.
Anything you can give us a sneak peek into?
Naturally, we'll just build more space.
Yeah,
I'd like to get into other parts of town, but I'd also like to expand onto what we're doing on this side of town.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly a market, you know, where J Street's going to open at full. So we're all 47 offices are full.
Already?
Wow.
Yeah, we'll open full capacity. So there's demand
for
what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we'll do more of that. And but I'm also interested in finding other cool ways to leverage space, not just coffee coming in as kind of a cool example of neat ways to expand our...
That's kind of a perfect partner too.
Yeah.
That's a good partner, especially from like a local Charlotte place.
James and the crew, they have just such a beautifully crafted brand and culture, and I'm jealous of it. Like I always looked at it from afar as this kind of thing I aspired to be. And then when I met with James and he was like, you know, Hygge's something that inspires me, I'm like, holy shit, we need to be friends.
Yeah.
Because I love you. I mean, I like you. Ah, shit. It got like, I was just like,
ah. You got one of those weird moments.
Yeah.
did that just come out?
What do we do here?
No, they're awesome. It's been really cool to build that space alongside him. But we'll do more things like that. More who are we missing in our world, and how do we pull them in by leveraging space?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I know I have a couple buddies that work up in the New York area, and they work for some pretty large corporations that actually use a shared working space for office space for their remote location. Like they pay for them to be in there, not just entrepreneurs and small business owners, but even corporate entities are doing that. What would be kind of your, I guess, layout of clientele? Is it mostly entrepreneur, small business? Is it some corporates? Because I know, for example, like I said, my buddy that works for a giant company there, they're renting portions of a shared office space. So
yeah, we're kind of all over the board. So our marketing is unintentional or very intentionally broad.
Mm.
We don't niche out. Like we're not for startups and entrepreneurs and nonprofits. We're kind of just for everyone, and we've built a brand of inclusivity in hopes of bringing a diverse group of people together. You know, I'm a marketer. That's my trade, marketer, developer.
Mm.
I kind of don't want to be surrounded by those type of people. Like, mm-hmm. It's just not that interesting to me. That's my world. I know it. There's stuff to learn, but there's a ton of stuff to learn from the nonprofit sector and startups and even corporate companies. Like we're all over the board, you know, at 500 people plus ish now with J Street opening, we'll hit somewhere in the 600 range. Like that's some, like the breadth of it is wild when you really look at who's sitting in the room, age from 21 all the way to 70.
That's awesome.
It's neat.
That
cool.
goes to that community that you were talking about earlier, just being able to blend different walks of life, especially in the Charlotte market, right? Because we all know how kind of diverse it is, at least, and becoming.
Been neat. I'm satisfied with how it's kind of played out. You know, the risk is naturally you attract people just like you. You know, it could be a bunch of 35-year-old white dudes hanging out together, and that's just not exciting as we sit here as three white dudes.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a community, that's not nearly as valuable as what Hygge has become.
Mm. Yep.
So,
yeah. And do you do community events, like group events, or getting there or working on it?
So it's an interesting thing. I think co-working as a industry has overdone events. You know, I study it, I watch it, and mm-hmm. I think people just do too many events. Like I think there's something to being very smart and intentional about when you ask people to come together. So we do 0 day once a month. We have 0 night coming up.
It's coming up, right? Yeah.
We're doing a little flip flop. We usually do it in the mornings on Fridays, but we're doing a once trial. What happens if we do it in the evening? And we got well over 100 people RSVP'd. But it's really about occasionally asking people to interact with what we're doing and make sure that we don't ever make people feel like they're missing out, you know, a little FOMO. And what that does is actually make them disengage from the space. So we just do things here and there, and it's enough that you might miss it, but there's always something coming next month. I just don't want to do too many things. I think it's overkill. We're all doing a lot. And that's the sentiment that I get from people is it's a weird thing.
Targeted advertising. I mean, there's the marketing and you trying to say, hey, listen, let's do it right. And not just the quantity versus the quality.
Yeah. I don't have it in me. Event planning is time consuming and expensive to begin with. So I spend more time thinking about how do we do, like, 0 night's going to be, I'm so excited for it. We got 6 amazing speakers. I don't know what they're going to say, but I'm confident that it's going to be great. We're doing like little detail. They got Lincoln's making us a crazy cake. We ordered a bunch of Easy like M&Ms that are printed custom with Easy on it for these cookies. We got this Nitro cold brew cart coming out. So we're doing still coffee and breakfast theme.
Everybody go RSVP. I believe I am RSVP'd, so you'll see me there. When and where is it?
Yeah, it's next week on Thursday, April 25th.
Over at J Street, right?
Over at J Street. So kind of a soft unveiling of what we've been working on to the public.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't get too I don't get stressed out. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean you personally. I know you're cool there. I meant is that you're ready property wise. Yeah. Are you still doing last minute?
We're doing tons of details and Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of details after open. I think there's something because so many of our members saw it once and they haven't been back in till their office is ready. So a lot of the details around the space we'll do in the first month so they can see us working. I want my members to see me in the space. So different to what a lot of other hospitality-esque landlord-tenant relationships are, is you are an invisible landlord. And I refuse to be that. Like, I want to be the guy that you see every day. I want you to see Megan. I want you to see Brittany. I want you to see Alyssa. So we'll spend the first month being overly present. And what that does is helps people empathize with us when we have issues and things. Like, there's no one to blast an email off to because they have to come talk to me. I'm there.
Yep.
It's weird.
You're a real person.
I'm a real person.
Yeah.
Everyone always wonders, like, you don't get yelled at all the time? Like, no. Like,
because they show face.
They have to see me every day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm there. And I think that just comes down to, like, we have actual relationships with these people beyond, like, their dollars. Like, someone pays me $124 a month for Flex membership. Like, to someone, that might be a lot of money. To me, that is a small, that person is more valuable as a human than the dollars that they're giving me.
Right.
So that's kind of the whole approach for us has always been like, let's build actual human relationships. Dollars come second. They're important. They are essential to running your business, but we just don't look at everyone like dollar signs and we make them know that. It kind of works. So we'll spend the first month doing a lot of detail work.
And you get crowdsourced feedback.
I'm not a big fan of the, like, I build for me.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of the day, if you guys don't show up and nobody uses the studio, I love it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been, you know, we ask for feedback here and there. Like, I think you may have gotten the podcast email where I said, like, what do you guys hate about the space? And to be honest, we got very little. Actually, someone complained about the squeaky chair.
Moving it, guys.
Hearing in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, it's funny that you mentioned the email. Actually, I was sitting at work the other day and I received it as either a forward or a portion of whatever. But I received the email and I'm in sales. Mm-hmm. So part of my biggest job is customer service and getting that, to your point, that honesty back. And I think just even seeing it, You don't normally see that from a lot of customers. You know, just that. Hey, what can I do better, right? Yeah. And so kudos, A, right? You know, first of all, awesome as a client here. But then just that in general, kind of I think is what sets you apart and what sets this whole vibe of the place apart than some of the other shared spaces that, you know, we've kind of explored or been in.
Yeah, I think there's something to, like, I'm open to anything. If someone comes to me and is like, yeah, you guys ever thought about doing this thing? Like, coffee creamer in the kitchen. I drink coffee black.
Yep.
I don't really want coffee creamer in the kitchen, but an overwhelming amount of people said, like, can we do this thing? And I look at the cost, I go, this is well worth us just doing this stuff on a monthly
basis. Keep people happy.
Like, we can do, and that's like a small little thing, but we have made drastic. There'll be some things in here that are expensive, but over the long term. Mm. Like, somebody asked for something that I won't say it now because I'm still not 100% sure how I can pull it off, but I looked at it and said, like, yeah, we should probably do that. Like,
yeah.
Like, I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
So we'll make those changes and hopefully people notice it and think it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just once again, guys, for everybody that's listening, this is, you know, Hugo, where we've been renting and space for our podcast, and you've been graciously blessed with our voices from here. The be thankful that we have this high quality from Garrett in his studio, because it is not only just on the inside, you know, not just a studio. I mean, it's you know, set up for almost video recording. If you had to set up a video feed for your YouTube channel or anything like that,
yeah. Crew before you guys were live streams their show.
Yeah, yeah, which is I think an awesome place to head on.
Yeah.
You know, I think even if you look at some of the big podcast people like Joe Rogan, it looked like it started as an audio room. And now
gotta put all the trinkets.
Yeah, he's gotta put all the trinkets up. What did you use? You described this wall last time where Jason was busting.
It's shiplap.
Shiplap. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, looks good.
For your decor. When we were here,
stick wood.
So
yeah, exactly. So let's dive into the business a little bit.
Sure.
So I guess one would be a higher level question that kind of goes along with the theme of the podcast. Like, where do you see, you know, because co-working and the sharing economy really go hand in hand, right? Just almost as much as, say, Airbnb, like ride sharing or Airbnb, they all kind of move right on the same line. Sure. Where do you see that going, right? Sure. And then where does like Hugo kind of fit in?
So co-working is still surprisingly young as an industry. Sure.
Yep.
First co-working space is something like 2006.
Like Regis?
No, it was an independently owned space. West Coast, and then like the Southeast is just now starting to kind of
always so slow to get all the cool stuff.
But you know, there's not even 25,000 co-working spaces in the world. Like, the market is
really
is tiny.
World, not just the United States.
In the world, yeah. Like,
that's a pretty astonishing statistic.
Like, yeah, Charlotte's a major metro. We don't even have 20 co-working spaces.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
no,
you do that.
You're right. Like, yeah.
New York
is
jammed,
you're right.
But Atlanta doesn't have any really many more than us, especially independently owned. So I think the industry is just now starting to hockey stick. So we're seeing the growth. Obviously, our success is tied to that. I think just as many, you know, sadly, I get Google alerts for coworking and stuff like that. I see just as many spaces closing, which is scary. But I think there's a, you know, you look at Charlotte and stuff, I think the biggest hurdle and the thing that's going to hurt this industry is some of the bigger players. So you look at like WeWork and stuff like that, who continues to buy up space and do things, but they're not profitable. But they're a startup. They're burning cash on a monthly basis.
Mm.
And I worry that their kind of downfall doesn't have the positive effect that
on the industry.
Yeah. It just naturally, it's like anything. If you have a bad experience with an Airbnb, Airbnb, you might not ever go do a shared house again.
You're not wrong. No, I think
you end up going back to hotels because there's a consistency there.
Yeah, we've always, like, I ran into an owner who's like, well, I've had a bad experience with, you know, operators in our buildings before. Yep. So at this time, we have to say no, right? And then that's kind of going to your point, like, you have bad actors that then turn off everybody from the you know, the whole industry. And I hate it when somebody calls me and they say they may have had a bad time or something was wrong. I'm like, okay, how can I make it right? Because if you, even if you don't stay with me, I want you to stay in the space and want to go to another Airbnb. Just like you probably want, even if somebody leaves you, you want them to stay, you know, in the ecosphere.
Absolutely. So we you know, someone like Advent Coworking, it's on the east side plaza. It's a quality experience, and that's good for us. Like I need, I have friends that work over there, just proximity to their houses is convenient. They like it, and that's good. That is very good for us. We need more of that. So so the risk, the trend in the market right now is people are, like, I get a call every day for someone that wants to open co-working in their building, or they want us to come do it. And the risk is, obviously, we just say no, because we just have too many projects right now, and they try to do it themselves and do a bad job. And we've seen that in trial. We've had multiple spaces come and go that were doing bad business, and that is, and has damaged me. Like, I've had people say, we're kind of their sloppy second, where they come through and they're just on edge, like they're nervous about it. It's just
looking for things wrong.
And for me, I just want to make sure that, you know, I think we're going to see more coming in Charlotte. I'm not sure when, because we're kind of the last independently owned. Advent and I opened within a week of each other. There has been no more independently owned co-working spaces in Charlotte since then, 3.5 years ago.
Monopoly. I'm
just kidding. Well, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it's also, like, you guys should be familiar with this. The real estate market here is really expensive.
Yep.
And for us, like, we've built a brand big enough and quality enough that we can push the line on Charlotte. So we can go out on J Street into the west side where everyone's like, oh, it's suspect. And I'm looking at it like, this is the best part of town. Everyone should be on the west side.
Facts.
But if you were a new space, but if you were a new space that had no clout, you might live and die, like, very quickly.
Yeah,
over there,
just crushed by your lease. Yeah, you know, your lease.
Crushed by your lease, and for us, like, I don't take for granted that we can pre-sell every single office in the building, but I doubt, and I say it as with no ego, I doubt a new brand with no cachet in Charlotte could do it. I really don't.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you got a 20,000 square foot building at a certain rate burning. You know, you got a $25,000 a month note, and you're just crushing you.
Yeah.
You go 6 months without paying that, you're dead. Like, nobody can eat that.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
So that's the thing. I think it'll be interesting to see if markets like Charlotte can house more spaces beyond us that are, like, when will we see another 20,000 square foot co-working space that's not WeWork Industrious or Spaces?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how symbiotic is it to the employment market in itself that, you know, hey, jobs are growing, Charlotte's growing. Is it a timing thing that we just got to wait? Or is it truly just, hey, there's just not enough people filling the desks?
I don't know. WeWork obviously continues to expand. I just think people like you and me, we got in at the right time. Like, we started. Now, you'd be crazy to bite off mid-20 square foot, big building. It's scary. You know,
yeah,
$2 million upfit, like, just a lot of money.
That's a lot. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, so a little bit, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Looking at the business itself, so you lease the space. How much, you talked about outfitting, how much renovation and construction do you do? Do you gut it and build it out the way you want, or?
So the last one we did, the one that's opening next week, is just a warehouse. So that's a full upfit, like the...
Okay.
Full exterior.
And your biggest job so far?
By far.
Yeah.
By far. Like, we...
Square all, footage or just overall?
All of it.
Interesting.
Just start to finish. You know, for me, like, Camp North End, we signed a lease on that in May and opened July 1.
Quick.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Remount, this one that you're sitting in, was 2 months from lease to open.
Interesting.
I actually prefer to find something that's almost there and then do some work to make it cool.
Easy in, easy out.
Something like J Street was kind of a cool experiment. You know, we'll make money there. It'll set the standard for kind of some of the projects we move forward with, just because we know a little bit better what works and what didn't work. And naturally, we made lots of mistakes, and we'll learn from those. But yeah, I liked the process of the full upfit until it started raining for 3 months, and
there was a time where it didn't stop raining here in Charlotte.
It's just like you get 2 days of sun and then 5 days of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just miserable. like, because it just grinds to a halt, and you can tell everyone just starts working slower because there's no rush. Can't do things. And luckily today, this week, we had 4 days of sun. Parking lot's paved. We'll get our finals tomorrow, but not ideal in my world. 6 months is a long time for me. Like, we signed that lease in June, started construction in August, late August, early September, and now almost May 1, we're going to open.
Yeah, it's like, triple your normal carrying costs. And
I'm, like, that's almost a full year. We're only 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to wrap my, and actually as I think about growing the business, I think about those kind of things. Like, do I want to commit to another year of build out? Like, do I want to do that? Like, cause that is tying me to this thing. Likely we're probably going to do it, but, I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a different experience. It was cool. The landlords are amazing. Duray Construction did the build. Everyone was awesome. It was seriously great until literally the last month of rain and trying to get open.
You could see the finish line and it just wasn't getting closer.
Even days where it's like no rain and then you wake up, it's raining. You're just like, what? Like, there's 0% chance of rain and it's pouring harder than ever. There's a freaking river going down J Street. Just
we're not paving today, boys.
Sucks. And the problem is it backed up every construction project in Charlotte. So then when it gets sunny out, everyone's begging to get people to pave.
Yep.
So we're just fighting to get on the list.
Mm.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what, so when you said before, when you signed J Street, did you have anybody lease, or in the 6 months leading up? Because when you signed, it was probably, I'm assuming it was kind of like spec co-working, and then in those 6 months leading up, you filled it, right?
Yeah, so there was a couple people that previewed to what we were doing, and we built some custom-sized offices for that we knew move in. But I would say 43 of the offices all came after.
Wow. Is anybody moving from your other locations to be at a new location?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've already housed quite a few from all different locations. We've kind of backfilled everything but a couple. So really not too much vacancy, and we usually at this point when the weather starts getting nice post-Easter, we'll have another boom of requests before the summer hits, and we'll backfill all those. So
what's your global, quote-unquote, global occupancy? You full everywhere?
Usually 100%.
Wow.
Really? J Street's going to, with that move and the delay, is going to, not being able to predict timing on moving people out has been more challenging than I would have realized in getting people to commit, because they're like, we're ready to go, and we're like, well, we might have another month. And they're just, people aren't waiting. Like, they just don't wait. Unless,
yeah.
I saw people wait for Jay, which was kind of a neat thing. We built something cool enough that people walked in and were like, we'll take this in 6 months. And you're just like, oh shit, that's neat. But some of the other locations, like when you haven't bought into the vision, they'll end up at Advent or somewhere else.
Cause they need the time and money.
They need it now.
Yeah.
That sucks, but live and learn. Like, I'm at no real way to alleviate that. We do our best to help, but we'll likely be back to 100% by mid-May.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We've been getting pretty scheduled tight here. I mean, just from the podcast timing. I mean, this has been booked itself.
It's wild.
So, you know, you talk about this type of room being working in with somebody that could be doing accounting work out there. Mm-hmm. What is kind of the breakdown for new builds? Is this type of, I don't want to call it social media room, but is that what you call it? Media room or
podcast studio?
Sure, yeah, podcast studio. Are these becoming a attraction to the greater scope of your business, or is it something fun people you did here?
So I think every location should have something distinct. You know, the risk is we build a studio at J Street and nobody uses a studio, so what's the point? You know, I'd rather this be back to back to back books. Like, we have someone in here 5 minutes after you.
Yeah,
I love that. Like, I want this to be boom, boom, boom.
Of course.
And then we'll look at it and go like, man, do we build a second studio since we're full up? If every night is booked back to back and people are getting frustrated, well, we'll go build a second one. But I don't want to cannibalize our locations. The one at Hill Street's close to Uptown. People always love that. Hygge J Street has a Not Just Coffee. That'll be an attraction. It's going to be. Here is the podcast studio. J Street also has a photo studio.
So interesting.
Something unique.
Very close. Yeah.
Full white natural lights, dude. It's gorgeous.
Nice.
So bright.
You get all your Instagrammers in there?
We're going to try.
I mean, we're laughing, but in all seriousness, no. One of the success that I know we've been given feedback on our podcast, not that we're any nothing crazy here, but the professionalism of the sound and quality mm-hmm. has been the, you know, any of the success we've had, the little it is, but the success that we've had has been, that's been one big comment is that, yeah. you know, hey, if we're going to listen to Jake and Dario.
At least it sounds good.
At least it sounds good. And so yeah. you see how many people are just breaking out, not only to the entrepreneurial realm, some of them are not really full entrepreneurs, but you see these, we said Instagrammers, photographers,
yeah.
social mediaists. It's just kind of booming. I mean, like, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I try to think about, so I think about something like this. It's $15 an hour.
We're yeah. kind of giving no,
it away.
Correct.
We're kind of giving it away. But I think I'm... You know, if we were $50 an hour, I don't know if most people would pay. They'd be, they for $15 an hour, they love the quality. But I think for $50 an hour, which it's probably worth, most people would be willing to have shittier quality. They'd record on an iPhone or go try to buy their own equipment.
And I'd say probably for $15 or $50 an hour, I would also go
you would
buy
try
something.
To, you would try to do something. Yeah. And for no, me, like right. I would, I, it's not to trap people, but I'm more interested in capacity. Same way we treat office space. Everyone's like, you should charge more for these. I'm like, I just want to be full.
Yeah.
Every, you know, you guys know this. Like if you go, let's say you go a month without renting it because you raised your prices higher, that's a month with no money. Like you should have just kept at your normal rate and kept it full. Like yep. you've lost that. Now you're working to make that back up for who knows how long.
Yeah. It's the same logic in, you know, with our Airbnbs is, you know, fighting like, between getting the highest rate, your occupancy filling it up, and then, you know, if it's empty, do you just drop your rates?
I've never understood it. As we've hunted buildings and I see one, someone's like, it's $18 a square foot. And we're like, we want 16. They're like, no. And then a year later, it's still sitting on the market. You're just like,
we could have had a deal done.
Booking velocity like, is, I just don't, is something we call it.
Like, we're I just can't wrap my head around that kind of a loss. Like you're not making that revenue for 1 year. And let's just say it's $25,000 a month in rent. Like that's a lot of money. It's 250 grand just gone because you needed to make an extra
$2 extra a foot,
which adds up over time. But now you got a year that you haven't gone and that building's going to sit there. I know it is. And I laugh every time I drive by it.
I was going to say, the debt collector comes every month.
Yeah.
And they're still knocking.
I think a lot of these people yeah, if that you own space in here in Charlotte are, they've bought these buildings outright. So they're comfortable just sitting on it and paying the taxes, which fine. But I don't know. It's, we've found landlords that are cool, that get what we're doing and are thinking long-term. So, anyway.
I think that's another great kind of segue is talking about the relationship with the landlord, because at least in our market and what me and Jake do privately, you know, we do a lease back model and an arbitrage type model, which I think is very similar to what you have going on for your business. Yeah. You know, not only is the community and relationship with the client or tenant very important, but the landlord and the person that owns it is also somebody that you kind of can't dance around the relationship or what you're doing in here.
I've kind of worked. I have really great landlords. Like it's kind of neat. I have five different landlords. Sorry, I thought one of them owned both buildings. Not yet. And they're all amazing. I don't yell at them. I don't have it in me. Like I don't. Like I know I'm known as. Like things go wrong, they come fix them. I'm not. I'm just not all that. Like I'm chill. Like I just don't have it in me to get mad. I don't want to yell at people. And I think they appreciate that compared to because I know they get yelled at all the time for something. They're all awesome. I've been very transparent about our business model before we ever signed, so that they don't try to like they know that if the way we've structured our deals that I can be successful. Period. You know, I think that will be the downfall of a lot of co-working spaces and a lot of, in general, like restaurants in Charlotte. Like the ones that close, it's because they signed bad leases.
Yep.
I'm telling you. Like these, I know people like, God, what was it, Babalu Taco?
Yep.
That lease, I heard what that lease was. You're just like, why would anybody sign this?
It's just crazy high.
It's crazy high and just no protections. This place was destined to fail the moment they put the pen on the paper. It would have had to been the most successful restaurant on East Boulevard. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I see that the same thing in ours where I'll see somebody sign a lease and to do the same exact thing that we're doing. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have done that.
It's just, it's too risky. And for me, yeah. I look at buildings and I need to be at like 40 to 50% capacity and making money.
That's what I was about to ask you, is what you underwrite for occupancy.
40 to 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's most of the deals that we underwrite too, and in multiple different businesses.
I want to be able to, at J Street, go, every office is fire sale at half price and I'm still paying my rent.
Mm.
That's what I need to be able to do. And in just in the off chance, knock on wood, that something bad happens and we just lose a bunch of tenants or members, excuse me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you got to do, I think on the, if you front side all of that, you front load your downside, right? I think, you know, Warren Buffett says all the time, what's your downside? And that's what I always think when we're signing deals is, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen here? And for us, and similar for you, you know, if you have a good lease, you have a lot of exit strategies too. You know, like you said, one, you could fire sale all of your offices. Mm. You know, you could turn around, you could sublet it in some capacity, right? And you have multiple ways that you can not just go out of business, like the restaurant you mess in, not being the only way out is just bankruptcy or closing the doors.
Yeah. And also, like, we've naturally protected, you know, we could have a whole location just go empty and we'd still pay the bills everywhere. That's just kind of the way
your buffer zone.
It's pretty, pretty big.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So what is the, I know you got J Street coming along, you got some cool other projects coming. What's the timeline, whether it's for Huga or just for Garrett? You know, do you want to run this thing for the next 10 years? You know, that's probably looking way too far out, but.
I don't know. I had offers in the past year to sell. We declined for many reasons. Mainly this is just my identity. You know, I'm, for better or worse, you know, smart business people would tell you that I'm stupid in how front facing I am on the business. I think the business is significantly less successful if I don't act the way I do towards it personally. That's, again, it's not an ego thing. It's just the way we run our business.
No, it's not at all. I mean, it.
Yeah, we just, like, I like it. Like, I'm having fun. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's the only thing.
Like, I wake up every day, I'm just like, shit. Like, we just, in J Street, there's this massive wall that we slapped the word easy on. And I kind of stepped back the other night after we put it up. Just, it's 15 feet wide. It's fucking huge. And under it, in really incognito white lettering on a white wall, you can only see if the light hits it, it says easy. And that in big and yellow. And then under it, it says peasy lemon squeezy, but only if you hit the light right can you see it. And I kind of looked back, stood back for a little bit and had a little moment where I was like, oh shit, this is what I get to do. Like, I just wrote easy on a wall. There's the door from Not Just Coffee to Huga says, this is where the magic happens.
Yep.
Which is, you know, read between the lines as much as you want, but like, this is my job. Like, I create space for people that build cool things. It's exciting. It's way more fun than I ever could have imagined. And I think my team embodies that now too. Brittany's.
Here comes the Gary T, you know.
There you go. Doing what you love.
Yeah. And I think that's, I am an anomaly. I don't think this is normal.
Normal as what? As a business owner? Person?
I think people really struggle to marry work. You know, how many people are like, work-life balance? I'm like, work is life, life is work. Like, that's just how I've always taken it. Like, I have found something that I wake up every day, it drives every thought. I have a family, I have a child. But Huga gives me a different feeling that I don't even really know how to explain.
With Huga might be pretty appropriate.
Yeah.
Huga.
It's an interesting thing. I don't foresee exiting. I have a lot of ideas. I got room to grow the team. You know, we've got, you know, between Megan, Brittany, Alyssa, Jen, and the kind of the whole content team, Meg, Julia, Duncan, and then Taylor, who does podcast stuff. There's room to grow there. There's room for me to kind of slowly remove myself and be a little bit more of a boss. But I kind of still love doing, like, I did the podcast training yesterday, and I walked out of it, like, not mad that I had to fill in, just kind of like, man, I kind of miss doing this, like, because I got to hang out with four cool people creating podcasts.
Just like when you came in here and noticed that the chair was squeaking, that, hey, I got to fix this. You're not above a squeaky chair or a podcast lesson or a smudge on the table, because, you know, I think one thing that I've got to pick up in this short time, I mean, you know, as we start to wrap up here in this short time, you know, meeting you, Garrett, is you're the real deal. I mean, it is, this space is you, and the energy and atmosphere in here is something that you brought to it. And it's, to your point, it's not just a corporate cookie cutter space. This is Hygge. Right? I'm sorry to be corny there, but it's Hygge, right?
Yeah, I think it's a weird thing that I don't know if I could do again. And I think we've had a perfect storm of just, we built a brand that was kind of unique. We were bold. We came out and went hardcore yellow. We used a name that nobody can say. We slapped Easy on mugs and on shirts and things, and still people are like, it's suggestive. And we're like, we're kind of like it like that. You know, our membership levels are friends with benefits, going steady, ride or die. There is a reference to having sex on our website and one of the membership plans, but nobody ever reads it, so it's okay. And it's you know, things like Easy, when we wear that on a shirt and someone's like, is that appropriate for a woman to wear? And I'm like, it's not about being easy. It's about, things aren't always easy, but you got this. You know, we've approached everything in a way that I believe makes it digestible, broad speaking. I don't know. It's cool. Like there's probably people listening to this that, or will listen to this, that are kind of like, Garrett sounds really monotone and real, like, kind of low. And this is just me. And we're not like this high energy space, but I think keeping us even keeled and even letting my team rise above that is why Hygge has kind of taken its shape. Like, I am about as flat as they can get. But that leaves so much room for this to
be. The rest of your team, yeah.
For everyone in the space to have a sense of, like, driving the personality of what we're doing. We're just here to lay the foundation.
I mean, you have yellow shoes and a yellow backpack, so I don't know how flat.
That's I was about to say, you refer to yourself as, you know, pretty flat, but then I think came out of you, you know, the brand, I might be projecting right now, but you built a brand that has bright colors, which is pretty funny.
And I gotta give an always endless love. Kayla Duggar started this with me.
Nice.
She is the brains behind a lot of the way we speak as a brand. She's an incredible writer, and just so good at what she does. She's in marketing. I work every time I write something or we write something, I hope that she reads it and kind of goes like, they're still doing what I set out to have this be. And if I ever feel like it's off brand of how she would say it, or how she would want us to say it, I kind of give it a second look. So it's not just, it's not just Garrett. It's God, we could talk forever about Kayla and kind of the relationship. Like, I was always the one that wanted to be, like, I'm an extrovert, and she was always an introvert. So there's a lot of moments where people go, like, Garrett Tichy is the thing that created Hygge, and I'm just like, there's more behind it. And even now, when I look at Brittany, she's, if she ever left, like, I hope she doesn't listen to this, but if she ever left, like, I'd just be devastated. It would crush the business for me. She kind of reinvigorated me over a year ago when I was kind of losing my steam, hired her, and she was just this bright and shining light that embraced the brand in a way that I was just like, oh shit, do you like this more than I do?
Yeah.
Like, it was a little weird. Like, I was like, oh man, nobody, I thought I couldn't love this anymore. And this girl just comes in and it's just like, Hygge is everything, yellow hearts, yellow shoes. Let me do it. Backpacks. And I was just like, oh shit.
Now that's what you need though. I actually just hired somebody as well where, again, hope he's not listening, because if he leaves me, he's only been with me for 45 days, and I'm like, if you leave me, like,
yeah,
I don't know what I'll do. Like, it's please hard. Stay. Mm. Please stay.
But I think that's, you know, in the, are we gonna wrap? How close are we? What are we?
We're getting close.
It's all right.
We got the boss in here.
Yeah, so. We got the boss in, so what are they gonna do?
No, if anything though, from what I've learned, he's gonna be pretty strict to the cutoff time to respect the next person coming in here.
What time is that? How much time we got?
Oh, we have 15 minutes.
Okay, good. I'll just say that And something I wrote, I was in the Charlotte Agenda, Small Business Person of the Year.
I saw that. Oh, congrats.
Thanks.
Congrats, yeah.
Cool to be a finalist. It's really cool to lose to Bill. Bill is a Bill of Elements brand.
At Elements, right?
I was going to say, be careful on the Bill, not Bill Clinton or anything.
No.
Actually, one of, you know, quote
would be cool still.
Quote unquote, you know, one of my competitors, Amir. Amir was on there as yep. well as a finalist.
Yep.
And we're close as well, so... it was good to see, you know, yeah, everybody. Everybody winning.
There was a strong lineup there, but I wrote in like the things I've learned running this business was just like, because I did this 2 years alone, pretty much, and bringing on a team and finding people that really love what they're doing here, and doing everything. Like I find the vast majority of my time is like, how do I just make sure I support my team? How do I make sure that Brittany wakes up and wants to come here? And if she doesn't, like, that's a problem, and I think we should work to fix that. I think that's a – people don't leave bad jobs. They leave bad bosses. Like, I truly believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong about that.
I do. So, yeah.
I have Dario signaling me over here, but
– Well, you're breathing into the mic that last go-around. I'm like, hey, you're
– Well, I got one last question.
No, I'm not – hey, I'm not talking about time now. I'm just saying you're just breathing over
one
there
kinda,
into the mic.
I think we've gotten a lot of the – I love talking about – we had somebody else come on here, and we talked a lot about this emotional stuff, which seems – this podcast goes a lot of times. I don't know if it's just the people yep. that we have, but one –
Maybe it's Jake.
Maybe it's me.
He's emotional.
Yeah, maybe it's just me, and I'm learning something about myself. But one okay. kind of technical question, since we are in – you kind of find yourself in a weird place between realistically the labor market and the real estate market, both – heavily influence
yeah.
your line of business, right? You know, employment's at an all-time low. Real estate's, some would say, in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning.
The booming.
Which helps you, right? But like as you said before, you can run at 50% occupancy, which is awesome. How does your business, you know, is it recession-proof? Is it... have you thought about it?
I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think the vast majority of the time, I just say I don't know.
Yeah.
People love to compare us to WeWorks. I think the WeWorks and the big ones will take a bigger hit because they're signing large companies. And naturally, you know, a Coca-Cola who has an entire floor or two in a WeWork, they're going to be the first to make massive
Correct.
Layoffs.
Yeah.
They're going to make layoffs, which, and the first biggest expense is office space. For us, we're so diversified. Like, we won't sell someone 10 offices. We just don't do it. We want single to five-person teams that take large offices rather than someone that goes, like, we'd like 3,000 square feet. It's just not for me. So it would take a catastrophic, every industry takes a hit for us to see huge, huge declines.
Because of your diverseness
in
renters. Or,
yeah,
excuse me, you call them members, excuse me.
47 offices, we have 43 different members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And it's not the startup or venture capital model where, you know, you don't have a burn rate, right? You know, you've probably stuck to sound like business fundamentals.
Small business fundamentals. Yeah. I need cash to grow, right?
Yeah, so we're 100% self-funded.
Yeah.
I don't have
awesome.
Any debt.
Awesome. Congratulations.
I think with this one, we had to do a couple different, like, I think I put some things on a credit card, but that's like 15 grand, which is like a
pennies
very
in
small
the, yeah.
amount of money. And I also financed a portion of the automated standing desks, and I pay a little bit a month at 0%.
Glad you put those in there. Those are a huge
people love them.
Workforce wave of
you have them at your desk, right?
Oh yeah, my whole company's got them.
Yeah,
every office
you
go into,
cool,
you have a stand up.
People are excited about them.
Like, I mean, they are good for you, man.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
really
yeah.
are.
Well, people don't even know. They've
no,
never done it. Like the
no.
moment, I can't wait to see everyone give back their chairs. I'm
yeah.
telling you, like I don't
no,
even
it's
have a
true
desk.
Thing.
Like I have an office now. I took one. And I'll never sit. There's not even a chair in my office.
So here's a quick little fun fact. Most people say, okay, well, great. I have the stand-up desk. Well, how high does it go? The
awkwardly
proper height.
High. Awkwardly high.
Is awkwardly high, but it's supposed to be just above your elbows.
Yeah.
About an inch, right? Above your elbows? Yeah. Inch above your elbows.
Yeah. Fun facts.
So you
yeah,
can
it took me a
you...
long time to find the perfect stand height.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we have the automated ones, so I think you're going to see people play all freaking day. Yeah.
Well, like, I do. I go up and down. So I have the Apple Watch, and, you know, it tells me you should stand now. And
there you go.
And I go up.
Yep. People love it.
No, they're great. They really are great, man.
I'm excited.
I mean, they're productive.
So. But yeah, self-funded, no debt, trying not to.
Cash flow positive?
Very much so.
Awesome.
The hope is...
he's got shiny new yellow shoes on. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with
you. I do buy a lot of hats.
No, I do love that you have the yellow on from the vibe of the company. I mean, everything in here is kind of...
Yeah, just so everybody, you know, nobody can see us, obviously. So to put it in perspective, there are yellow fake Lap lemons. There are yellow chairs. There are yellow wiring to the podcast mics. Garrett's got on yellow shoes, a yellow book bag. So he is the brand, and he does not kid when he says that. Which
is it a favorite color?
Is it a thing behind it? I actually voted against yellow being the brand color. And
that's
lost.
Awesome. That
do you like
is
to drive
awesome.
Fast?
I actually lost. I wanted a different name too.
Really?
Yeah, we were between two, and I lost.
See, it's funny. It shows how much the boss knows, you know?
Yeah. That's a funny statement there. It's funny when you said Hygge, right? Like, first of all, it's spelled Hygge, right?
Yeah.
So when you first look at it and being ignorant, right?
Hygge or Hygge or the interesting thing, God, you want a final little fun story? So it was almost Tortle co-working.
I have a turtle named Tortellini.
So Tortle. So we end up Urban Dictionarying everything, and a turtle is a cow dingleberry. So I lost.
Even better than
I lost. Yeah, that is a true story. Sitting in a room, there were three other names that I can't remember, but Tortle was my like because the whatever meaning of Tortle, and I can't remember it now, which shows to how glad
significant.
I
yeah,
but man. Lost that battle.
You're like
hard.
A Benjamin Franklin.
I had no legs to stand on after that one.
Yep. I can see you just being completely deflated after that came out and be like, all right, well, I literally can't say anything.
Hygge it is.
So, Garrett, as we wrap it up here, tell us again, where is the, you know, your soft opening for, give the details for that if people want to know.
Hygge Coworking, and if you want to find us, we are hygge.com or hyggeclt everywhere, social media-wise. And then, so next Thursday, April 25th, zero night, starts at 6:30 for a little bit of just social time, 30 minutes, six talks, 10 minutes each, start promptly at 7 and run for no more than 10 minutes. We wrap air horn people off. It's wonderful.
It's great.
Yeah, you don't get.
You seem very excited about that.
It forces things to move.
Yeah,
and I want to be respectful of people's time, and I also want to encourage people that if you hear Jake speak, that you're just like, I liked what I heard, and I want to go find him to hear more. And that's the motto: like, be open to hearing from somebody new, and like, we don't even know what anyone's going to talk about.
Yeah, little plug. Happy to speak at your next one if you want me to.
Cool.
Well, cool.
No, that's awesome. Garrett, thank you for taking some time out of your day.
Thank you for the wonderful space, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have got into the podcast realm, right? Just a quick plug here for Mr. Garrett. I don't think we would have got into the podcast realm without a space like this, honestly.
Definitely
and
not.
At the competitive price point that you've mentioned. So anybody else that's out there thinking about getting a podcast, I know I've heard some actual people reach out, which is super cool to us that we've been able to help and impact people. Not quite as great as you have, but you know, at least a couple hundred or... I don't even know if we're in a couple hundred yet.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself.
but
cool.
You know, whatever. It's
happy
cool.
Happy to host y'all. I love being on the mic. It's been a while, so it's cool.
It's fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, again, I am Jake Cofrell, your host, always with
Dario Pellegrino. Thank you, guys.
And this is the Status Quo Podcast.